Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal joins us here today. Adam, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
Pretty tired, to be honest with you. It was, as you said, it was a long night. It's one of those things where you're wrapping up your stories. You're out of your press box at 1:30 in the morning, and nobody's going to bed. So you go get some dinner, and before you know it, it's like 6, and now you got to start the day again. So we got Gruden coming up in a little bit. I'm sure he's going to still be kind of riding that emotion of that win last night, but. As you know, in the NFL, it's you get about 24 hours, and it's on to the next one. And the Raiders have a short week, so they're already in the full Pittsburgh mode.
How long did it take you to process everything that that happened in that game in the last 5 minutes plus overtime? Because it felt like a full game's worth just in that span.
Yeah, and it's a really weird thing. Like, not to go, I'm sure people don't care much about the process or whatever. And as far as being a writer and trying to cover that, but we had a full staff out there at the game last night to cover it, the first ever game with fans at Allegiant Stadium. And it's one of those things, usually it's like 30 seconds after the game, we kind of go through and, all right, you write about this, you write about this, you write about this. And yesterday it was like, all right, hold on. We got to take a step back. We got to talk about this for like 5 minutes and just figure out what exactly happened. What are this? There's like 100 storylines that happened in the game. And then some we didn't even find out about till after the game. So, I mean, the game was so crazy and so wild. And then there was like all these other like underlying storylines from there, like the fact that they couldn't find the kicker, which is crazy. All those things we found out about afterwards. So even though the action on the field was insane, the stories that we got to hear afterwards were even crazier, I think.
The two most important positions in the NFL, most would agree, head coach and quarterback. What is the general view right now of John Gruden and Derek Carr in the Vegas fan base, or the Raiders fan base more appropriately?
Well, at this hour, 12 hours after what we saw last night, it's very, very good. I think 24 hours ago, maybe a little bit different. Listen, John Gruden is obviously the big name, the splashy hire. They brought him in, and everybody thought it was going to be instant success. And it's been more of a process. He's been kind of rebuilding the team in his image. And, he had the luxury of having that long-term deal, 10-year contract. So not many coaches are in that position. Most coaches think they have to win right away. And he didn't. He kind of tore down the team, and he's gone through some ugly seasons, and now he's here on the precipice of having a roster that he likes. And his fortunes are, of course, tied with Derek Carr because he's the quarterback, and that's how things go. They were very fortunate, I think, to have kind of the timeline that they had, where they had those last 2 years in Oakland. One of the years was kind of a sentimental, hey, it's your last season here. They're going to show up and be supportive no matter what. Well, the supportive is the wrong word. Some wanted to support, some wanted to be angry. But they had that year where the focus was on the fact that they were moving. And then they had a year where they had no fans in the crowd last year, and they could all talk about COVID and not the fact that they were losing. So they haven't had to really endure the ire of the fans in a direct manner, because they've had other things to focus on. But this was the year. This is the year still, that it is going to matter. The results are going to make a difference, and they are going to be judged on what happened. So, honeymoon period is over, if you want to say it that way, and they've got to go win games. And fortunately for them, they did, because there's a scenario that could have played out on an alternate timeline last night where they lose that game. And all the talk today is, yeah, same old Raiders, played well, in the mix, lost the game, found a way to lose. That's where they're at. But because they found a way to pull it off and win, the narrative has completely shifted this morning.
And Adam, as you said, John Gruden had the time to really kind of rebuild this team as he wanted. He had the security that he didn't need to try to win right away. And now he has maybe a roster that's more suited to what he wants to do. What does he want the identity of this Raiders team to be?
Well, I mean, I feel like he wants the identity of the Raiders to be the team that, that he wanted to build in like the 1980s. He wants to be a running team, a smash mouth team. He wants to line up and, get an extra offensive lineman in there and jam it down the opponent's throat. Like, that's kind of what he wants to do, even though he's known as a bit of an innovator. Like, that's his mentality. He's an old school punt on fourth down kind of guy. He showed a little bit of flexibility though last night, which I think was interesting, going forward on a fourth down, even though they didn't make it. He's being a little bit more aggressive. He's catching up with the times a little bit, which I think is interesting, but he does want to turn back the clock a little bit. He wants to line it up and smash mouth. And, he does want that speed on the outside, that Raiders identity, that old school, find the fast guys that can play wide receiver. But he really does want to be a ball control type guy. And he wants to have a defense to come line up and dominate opponents. And he thinks he has it. I mean, they weren't there last night, but they played much, much better. The defensive line, the pressure rate was over 50% of the times Lamar Jackson dropped back. They were able to get in the backfield, which is not something they've been able to do. But if you really ask John Gruden, I think what he wants to do is run the ball and dominate in the pass rush. And, they were able to do that second one a little bit last night.
Yeah, they were able to do the second one for sure. You know, they got away from the run game, I think, just based on the circumstances of the game and what was going on with Josh Jacobs. But that's going to happen, right? Today in the NFL, sometimes you're going to have to throw the ball an awful lot and you're going to have to trust your quarterback to make plays. And I thought Derek Carr last night, started slow in the first half, but made some really good big plays late to help the Raiders win the game. What level as a quarterback does Derek Carr need to reach this year for the Raiders to be consistently successful?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. He's had so much success in the NFL. He has every Raiders passing record. He's a guy, I look at it as, he's in a terrible position and the team's in a terrible position with him because he's way too good to just discard and move on from. But he's not good enough to take him to that next level. And that's a tough spot to be in because you want to see if there's any better out there. You want to see if you can improve at the quarterback position. But there's like 10 people on the entire planet that can play the position better than him. And if you can't get one of those, then you're going to be downgrading. And that's kind of the bubble that he's been sitting on for a while. So I think if you say, what does he have to do this year? It's playoffs. It's all in. I think it's that Vegas mentality. It's something, it was the focus of our preview section on the team. And that's because it's something that John Gruden has been saying all summer. That poker analogy of, hey, you're all in this year. You have to make the playoffs. If you don't, they know there's going to be massive changes. That's not going to include John Gruden unless he wants to leave, but there is going to be changes. So they'd move on from Carr, I think. They would move on from some other people maybe in the organization. They need to make the playoffs. And I don't think Derek Carr's personal stats matter, but obviously his level of play does because he has to play good enough to get them into the playoffs because this is the year they have to do that.
Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal joining us here today on Rintoul and Sermon with Jamie Dodd. Tough division to make the playoffs in, of course, because the top seed is almost assuredly going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, who are seemingly in a tier of their own. How do you believe the Raiders stack up to the other two teams in the division, the Chargers and the Broncos?
Yeah, it's really weird. I thought going into the year, all those teams were fairly similar in their approach. I thought it was going to just come down to a game or two, maybe a fluky ending or two. And, we already saw that happen for the Raiders in the positive direction. Maybe it's the start of things to come where they get a couple fluky might not be the right word, but, wins at the end that could have gone either way. And they find a way to win those games that they've lost in the past. And it makes them better in the end than the other two teams. But I think you watch what happened this weekend. Denver looked really, really good. And what everybody has said about them, I'm not on my own on this, of saying they have one of the best rosters in the league, except for the quarterback position. Well, all of a sudden, Teddy Bridgewater played really well. Now it's the Giants, and I think they stink. We'll have to see what they do against other teams. But I do think the Broncos, if Teddy Bridgewater plays at a high level, are very, very dangerous. And then you've got the Chargers and, Justin Herbert, emerging star, played really well the other day. But the underappreciated facet of that game is, if you ask any unit in the league that played the best this week, I would say it was the Chargers offensive line, which is a massive development because they've been bad the last couple of years. And Justin Herbert was able to overcome the fact that the line was bad last year, but now it's good. It looked dominant. And so I think that makes the Chargers even better. I think they're the second best team. The Raiders are right there with them, and the Broncos are not very far behind. So you got a weird situation where you've got this dominant Chiefs team, but then three other really good teams in the division. I think they're all fighting around the same record between 8 and 11 wins. And I think it's just going to come down to who can find a way to steal a couple. And, Raiders are up 1-0 on that one.
You talk about the Chargers offensive line performing well. Raiders defensive line performed well last night. Has that defense been upgraded enough to compete in your mind?
Well, I think that question was answered. I mean, listen, it's early in the season. It's one game in. But of all the analysis during the offseason of, hey, the Raiders defense is terrible, I think that was ignoring all the changes that they made on that defense. You look at the bodies they brought in on the defensive line. Clefurl last year was you know, expected to be a starter and play almost every down. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. He's that far down the depth chart because of all the bodies they brought in. They brought in Yanni Ikengakwe, who was very, very good yesterday, to go along with Max Crosby, who was great on the interior of that defensive line. You've got guys. I mean, Quentin Jefferson, and they brought in Joe McCoy, who did get hurt last night. It doesn't look good for him going forward. But Darius Filon, who has been kind of you know, a very successful player in this defense for a while and was out of football a little bit. So you've just got new bodies in there and new guys that can rush. And then Carl Nassib doesn't have to play the same role that he did last year. He can be more of a specialist, and you saw that be very effective late in the game by making a couple plays. So huge upgrades on the defensive line. The system is obviously different with Gus Bradley. He's been successful as a defensive coordinator for so long. And then you got, you know, new bodies in the secondary, like Casey Hayward. You spent a second-round pick on Trayvon Merrick. And then you've upgraded everywhere. The one place you didn't really upgrade was that linebacker. And then last week, you go out and get KJ Wright, one of the best linebackers in the entire league. So he looked good last night. If he can play at a high level, I think that's a big difference, because the linebacker room was ugly 2 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden it could be a strength of the team. I think the defense has significantly improved.
Well, and we certainly saw that on the defensive line in particular. I thought last night, Adam, as you mentioned, Max Crosby was fantastic. But you mentioned him just briefly there, and I wanted to ask you more about Gus Bradley, who comes in and takes over as a defensive coordinator. You know, a lot of our listeners in the Pacific Northwest here are very familiar with his work in Seattle. How is that defense going to look different under Bradley this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be similar to what we've seen in the past. You're going to rely a lot on the defensive line to get pressure themselves. We saw that last night. They didn't send their first blitz until the fourth quarter, and it actually really worked because it threw off the Ravens because they hadn't seen a blitz all game. So it's going to be relying on your front four to generate pressure on the quarterback, and they showed that they could do that yesterday without having to blitz extra guys. And then obviously that coverage behind it that everybody's so familiar with, you know, one safety up in the box, one safety as a deep ball safety. And I think that is what has really worked for this team so far. In addition to, you know, Gus Bradley just having a different system and a better system, and the players, you know, being upgraded a little bit as individuals, I think what works for them is that Gus Bradley's defense fits the personnel that they had, right? It puts the cornerbacks that struggled last year, you know, Trayvon Mullen was okay. This system fits him a little better in terms of what they ask him to do. You bring in a Casey Hayward, who has done this before. But, you know, Jonathan Abram is the big guy that I think benefits from this. Jonathan Abram was brutal in coverage last year. He couldn't cover anybody. You guys could get open against him. And so now he's not really asked to do that. He's asked to play near the line of scrimmage. He's asked to go be more of an aggressive, go get the ball, make plays in the box kind of guy, which is much more fitting for what he's able to do. It fits his strength so much better. And then Trayvon Merrick is, you know, some of his weaknesses would be around the line of scrimmage, but he's asked to be a much more, you know, playing the ball type over-the-top defender, which is so fitting of what he does. So I think the scheme just fits the personnel really well, and that's why this defense is going to take strides that I don't think a lot of national analysts saw coming.
Adam, I got to ask you about Darren Waller. I think one of the big stories coming out of last night, and look, you know, he's not going to get 19 targets a game, but we heard what John Gruden had to say him after the game, and obviously there's a level of trust in Darren Waller from Gruden and from Derek Carr. Again, I know we're not going to see 19 targets a game, but could we be on the cusp of a kind of historic season here for Darren Waller, given how much this team obviously wants to feature him in the offense?
I would say yes, and I think you saw that in training camp when we were out there. You just saw throwing to him all the time. And I'll go back to your, okay, we're not going to see 19 targets every game. That's true, but I don't think the target share is that off. I mean, Derek Carr dropped back 60 times, and so 19 is about one-third of their passing plays. I don't think they're uncomfortable with that. I think they're fine with one-third of their passing plays going through Darren Waller, because he's that good, and they like him that much. After the game last night, it's funny, John Gruden was asked about the 19 targets and said, hey, you tried to throw it to him 19 times, and Gruden said, he's the best player I've ever coached. Why wouldn't we? He also said, if you throw 60 times, maybe you want to get Darren Waller 29 instead of 19. So if anything, they were – you know, they were fine with the amount of share that Darren Waller got of those targets. And yeah, he's a very, very special player. Obviously what he does is unique in every way. A guy that played wide receiver in college, then was out of football through his own doing for a little bit, and then came back and reincarnated his career as a tight end. We've seen it the last couple of years. I mean, he had an unbelievable year in 19. Last year, he was even better, got among that, you know, Travis Kelce class in the tight end world. And now he's right up there and every bit his equal of Travis Kelce, I think, in what he does. So it's going to be a special season, I think, for Darren Waller. And, you know, after the game, Darren Waller wasn't talking about his 10 catches or his 100 yards. He was talking about the one or two that he dropped that he wanted back. So, you know, that's kind of his approach. And it's nice when guys that are that good and guys that are that, you know, honest and open about themselves and just start trying to do right with all the charity work that he does and everything else, all the good he does in the community. Good to see those guys succeed.
Adam, your city does not suffer for a lack of events. Everybody knows that. Many of our listeners have been to a hockey game down in Vegas, myself included. It's a fantastic experience. How does that event, Monday Night Football, or just football in general at that stadium, compare to the other trappings that are offered in Sin City?
Yeah, the NFL is different. It's such a different level. It's crazy. And I thought it was actually pretty interesting. Derek Carr, after the game last night, was talking about the atmosphere, and he had gone to a couple nights game, and I had actually talked to him about some of those experiences. And last night he said, you know what, this felt like just a bigger version of a nights game. It felt like, you know, that kind of college atmosphere that the Golden Knights have created in their fans. It felt like it just kind of translated across the street to Allegiant Stadium. It was a party in that place. It was loud. It was festive. Obviously, it's Monday Night Football, and it's the first game with fans. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can carry that dynamic over and carry it through as a consistent home field advantage. But it was loud. It was a party. It was ruckus. You know, we had Too Short and Ice Cube performing at halftime, just blowing the roof off the place. It was crazy. And, you know, the fact that there's a nightclub in the end zone is only going to make it that much wilder, I think, throughout the season. It's going to be the place to be in Vegas. It's going to be a party. But, listen, I've told people about this about the Knights for a long time. This is a winning town, and they will turn quickly. I don't know if it came across in the broadcast. The fans were booing at a couple of points last night when the Raiders' offense was struggling. So they will abandon the Knights when they start losing, and they will abandon the Raiders if they start losing. But as long as they're winning and having fun, it's going to be great over there.
Yeah, it looked like a great atmosphere. I'm glad you've been reviewing the tape of myself and my co-host Jamie Dodd as well, and knowing that we could get open against Jonathan Abram. We look forward to playing in the stadium at some point in the near future. Adam, thank you very much for doing this. Really appreciate your time today. Get some rest, okay?
Oh, I'll try it anytime, guys.